Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge, a podcast about increasing radical rhetoric in modern politics with a common sense spin. Enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. I am very frustrated, and I'm not going to lie to you, this podcast episode is going to be a very long, very pissed off rant, and it's about the same thing I talk about all the time, which is the culture war in the UK, the fear of LGBT plus people in particular, and I just want to talk about why it is that what I've said recently, because I've said that I won't vote for UK Labour till they moderate their stances, I think is a completely fair and rational decision to make, and the people that are coming out against me for saying this can basically suck a whole dick, because I just don't care. Here's the thing. Over the course of months, I have seen more and more people trying to take a stand against political bigotry in the UK. Now, if we were going to say what's the most bigoted party in the UK, it wouldn't even be the Tories, because there are even more extreme factions in the UK. There actually are. But the Conservatives have a cornerstone on being the main political party and saying the bad stuff out loud, despite the fact that they are a minority. That's what we need to remember. More people voted for leftist-aligned parties all the time than they vote for parties like the Conservatives. The Conservatives are dying to win the next election. They're not going to, because the reason that they won the last one, because people wanted to get Brexit out of the way and actually move on with our lives. I did read an absolutely crackpot thing the other day that said that a lot of people voted for the Conservatives because they actually thought that they would get Brexit done in a good way. Brexit's still going on and still causing damage, so that's nonsense. But ultimately, what we need to focus on is the disturbing number of people who will cling to their political ideology to the detriment of minorities, even minorities that they're close to. I remember reading so many stories on the internet when Donald Trump won the election in 2016 and people were saying to their families, how could you vote for him? Why would you do this to me? And they were saying, oh, we need to make the country better and it's not about you and everything will be fine. He's on your side. Absolute derangement. And now here we are. We have literal Nazis saying that they want either Trump or DeSantis to win. What a time to be alive, everybody. But it's not even just that. It's the denialism behind it. And that's what's getting really frustrating in the UK. As someone who's in a minority group but isn't part of the main group that's under threat, it's really starting to become galling the amount of people who will tell you that you are the problem for not backing people who are problematic. And of course, Labour always has the excuse, always, not just from people that support Labour, but from their own ranks themselves, of, well, the Tories are worse. Do you know the amount of times I've heard the phrase Tory enabler in the last couple of weeks? It's literally unbelievable how many times in the last couple of weeks I've been told I'm a Tory enabler because I'm withdrawing my vote from Labour until they moderate their stance on trans equality. The fact that I am being called a Tory enabler after spending 3 years writing articles, writing blog posts, making podcasts, making videos every day, spending hours and hours reading the news and discussing things and spreading the word and trying to get people to see and understand the scale of Tory corruption. Why people can't see that it's of concern that someone who's been doing that for a long time is also concerned about Labour now is a big problem for me. I understand that people are angry and are worried about the result of the next election because we've all been made to fear the idea of another Tory premiership. I don't think that the Tories will win, but I think that if Labour lose, it's not because people like me are saying, I can no longer vote for you because you're doing bad things. It's because Labour are doing the bad things, you know? I get why people are mad. It's not my problem. If Labour want my vote, all they have to do is not be bad on these issues and they'll have my vote again. I fail to see how I am Tory enabling by doing what normal people do and franchising my vote against things I care about. If that's Tory enabling, then the UK is a sick place. And one of the biggest problems is what I even spoke about when I was making the video. I said, Labour have done a lot of things that are making me concerned. Here's the thing. A couple of weeks ago, Keir Starmer repeated a well-known anti-trans dog whistle, adult human female, when he was asked about trans people. And the concern about that phrase, because it should be a benign phrase, it's just a fact. Ironically, transgender people fit into it, but adult human female is just a normal sounding phrase. Unfortunately, it's also literally a piece of merchandise for Kelly J. Keene, who is an anti-trans campaigner in the UK, who has been forgiven for myriad issues. For example, let me read you a couple of tweets from her that got her kicked out of Woman's Place UK. Dear UK, it seems we are at a time where you can offend everyone except Muslims and trans women. All the rest of you were expected to take it on the chin. In response to an article where a young girl was kidnapped and gang raped, she said, "Are we allowed to notice where these men are from and the question the culture in which they've grown? I mean, we seem to be able to blame rape culture, but not Pakistani slash Muslim rape culture. Funnily enough, Kelly, rape culture is rape culture. It's not actually down to a religion. How about, we say the way men are socialized results in certain behavior, but not certain Muslim men and how they feel about white girls." No, because it's not whether people are Muslim or certain types of skin color or whatever. It's whether they're awful people. Keane's recently had a bit of flack from the gender critics around her because she defended Georgia Maloney's decision to remove parental rights from lesbian and gay parents by taking their names off of birth certificates to reflect a biological reality, another anti-trans dog whistle, something that Keane says should be uncontroversial. Funnily enough, Kathleen Stock, another well-known transphobe, has come out and written an article said, "Biological reality isn't always everything." Isn't it funny how biological reality isn't always everything? When it's suddenly going to start to affect Kathleen Stock's ability to have children. Isn't that funny? What a strange thing. The big problem is, Starmer said, adult human female. That is a big concern because everybody knows, well, everybody who's involved in fighting against the anti-trans movement knows where that comes from. People that don't hear that and think common sense. But when you realise how those words have been weaponized, it starts to become an issue. The same week that this happened, Wes Streeting made something that I can only call a tearful apology to Rosie Duffield in the press. Duffield is a member of Labour who seems to have spent more time criticising the party and liking bland transphobia on Twitter than actually helping constituents. Not to mention, she's not exactly the most moral person in the world, considering when we were all in lockdown, because there was a deadly virus on the loose, Rosie Duffield decided to break lockdown so she could go and have an affair. What a good person to have on your team. Guarantee you, though, that this endorsement of Duffield means that at some point during Labour's tenure, were they to win the next election, she would end up in the role of Women and Equalities, and that would be a fucking disaster for everybody. Because I guarantee you, there is a very close overlap between being gender critical and being against women's rights. Considering, who else do we know that's a prominent gender critic and is against women's protections? Kemi Badenoch, the current Women and Equalities Minister, who voted against protections for women in the workplace if they have period issues or menopause. Unfortunately, though, we're still not done, because in the same week, Starmer flippantly rolled back on his long-standing pledge to initiate a Gender Recognition Act reform. For literally years now, members of Labour have all steadfastly repeated the salient lines that we all know are true, that the current GRA is cruel, dehumanising, takes too long and needs to be reformed. Something that Starmer has now decided is no longer true. Because apparently he, and I quote, learned the lessons of what Scotland did. Would that be when Scotland put countless years and hours into doing research into other countries that had already done a GRA reform and taken examples from their rules to understand how it is that they could simplify it for trans people, because there was no harm to trans people and there was no harm to cisgendered women, and the UK government decided to step in and say, you know what, actually, we're not going to allow you to do that because democracy is what we say it is, not actually what it is. The biggest frustration for me is that this is always when things get difficult, because people will easily and quickly fall back on lines like, well, the Tories are worse. And nobody denies that the Tories are worse, but that's like saying cutting your hand off instead of just breaking it is worse. You don't really want to do either, do you? And the problem is that there's this maddening air around people who are very loyal to Labour and Starmer when they say these things. Whenever they roll back on any pledges, or they change promises, or they do flips, or whatever it is that they do, it's always that the Tories would be worse. The question for me is, and has been for a while now, why people don't demand better of Labour rather than saying at least they're not that bad. Because there are so many people who do. And the concern for me is that a lot of people's stock reply to everything is, well, everything's so bad under the Tories that at least it won't be that bad under Labour. No one's saying that they're good, but, you know, the Tories are so much worse. People are actually acknowledging that Labour aren't looking good, that Labour aren't going to do the things that they want, but they won't actually ask for it when that's all that people are demanding. Please actually stand up. And this is where the biggest problem comes from. Ultimately, the concern for me is that these problems only go so long as people endorse them. And as a minority, I have to wonder why it is people don't understand the simplicity of that. If you're in a political party that endorses a bad position and they don't see their numbers drop when they endorse the bad position, they'll think that position's okay to endorse. So when Labour come out and endorse gender-critical people, gender-critical views, if you're grossed out by it, you should tell Labour that you won't vote for them. And if you do, it will give Labour something to think about. But what seems to happen is people are so afraid of the Conservatives that they will endorse Labour doing these things in the hopes that at least they won't be the Conservatives when they get in. But they're endorsing exactly the kind of views that Conservatives have. And they won't let them go because you are not enfranchising your vote against something that you agree or disagree with. The problem is that this becomes something of a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. People say, oh, Labour have endorsed a bad position, but I can't move away from them because then the Tories might win. And then Labour goes, oh, we're not losing votes, so maybe this is what people want. So then they endorse another bad position and people go, oh God, well, I don't like that, but at least they're not the Tories. And Labour go, well, we're still not losing votes, so this must be what people want. We live in a country where most of the country, according to polling, is centre-left, and we're being guided towards another right-wing government, just with a different name. And people will do that, they're not the Tories. But here's the problem that I've had for a long time with that train of thought. You cannot be Conservatives and have bad politics, and that's exactly what's happening in the UK. I'm not saying that Labour is holistically bad. There are certain policies that they're offering which do sound quite decent. There's things that I'm very interested in. But it's about the things that they do endorse that are bad, that are deeply concerning. And the fact that I'm not even allowed to bring this up to people who support Labour because I'm immediately tarred as a Tory enabler means that there is a problem, a feedback loop in Labour that must be addressed. It is not Tory enabling to say I cannot vote for a political party because they're against me morally on certain standpoints. If anything, when they're endorsing Tory talking points, like saying things like gender critical talking points, that should be a concern. And it should be when there's a mass movement away from Labour until they moderate their views. I'm not saying that we have to move away from Labour forever and ever, amen. But I'm saying that if Labour are going to do things we don't agree with, then there should be a mass movement away from them until they moderate their stances on these views. But people don't do it because they're not brave enough, because they're terrified that if they move away from Labour for just a second, the Conservatives will suddenly maintain power while the Conservatives are still in power and apparently intend to remain there until at least next spring. The problem is in the UK that people seem to think that Labour are the ones who set out the positions and people have to agree with them and bend themselves into shapes to fit this stance and this alignment with Labour when that's not the case. Labour are a political party and supposedly, before Keir Starmer started referring to them as the party of business, were the party of the people. They should be aligning to what we feel. So if in the UK, the broad span of people don't feel transphobic nonsense, Labour should be aligned to that. But they think that it's a good idea to try and scrape more Conservative voters away by endorsing this line of thinking. And they're enabled to do it by people who are too cowardly to move away from the party because they are crossing a red line. And as someone who's from a minority, my concern is how many people must get thrown under the bus before people realise that this is dangerous. How many people have to suffer before people go, I really can't condone any more of this. The sooner we do it, the better. We should be steering Labour. We should not be under any kind of fidelity to Labour because we're terrified of the Conservatives. Labour should be doing what we want, and they've lost that. They aren't doing what people want. They're doing what they think will win them votes. And ironically, it seems like a lot of people are miserable with this iteration of Labour, but won't say anything against them because they're afraid that it will damage their chances. But if you can't criticise a political party for doing something wrong, that's not politics, that's dogma. And I don't understand why people can't understand my position on this. I get asked so many times, you know, I'm genuinely tired of the question. I never thought that I would get tired of it, but I get asked all the time, are you trans, David? Are you trans? Is that what's going on? Are you a trans man or are you a trans woman that hasn't started transitioning? I'm cisgender. I just care about minorities and I don't understand why this is so shocking. And then you get into the whole thing of, to some people, the second you say that you're pro-trans, they think that you're anti-woman. And I'm not. I know that there's people out there that think that I am, and I'm never going to be able to convince those people that I'm not. But I just, I cannot state it strongly enough that I stand with women, that I care about women, that I want women's rights to be protected. I'm just talking about literally all women, not just a certain subset of women who are allowed to be women. The way that this country treats women of colour, both trans and cisgender, is terrible. I've looked at the studies of death rates for women of colour when they're giving birth. I've looked at the fact that, do you know, I read an article this morning that a common question that women of colour are asked when they go for blood tests and things like that is, have you showered? Because when you use an alcohol hand wipe on people of colour's skin, it does exactly what it does with white people's skin and creates little residue of like skin cells being pulled up. But because those skin cells are melanated, people are like, wow, what's that? The fact that this is not common knowledge in medical practice is crazy. And this is exactly my whole point, is that these little things and medium things that people don't know about build up into a holistically unpleasant experience for people who don't fit into the easily categorizable and definable group of born a cisgender woman, looks like a cisgender woman, acts like a cisgender woman, sounds like a cisgender woman. It drives me crazy that anyone who doesn't fit into that surprisingly narrow margin is offered a less full experience of life because of other people's narrow-mindedness. Now, it's bad enough that we have a ruling political party right now in power who endorse these things. My concern is that there will be a continuation of it under a Labour Party who are endorsing these positions. I think a lot of people are riding on this denialism that Labour are going to get in and then drop all of this stuff that they've done to get into power, when that's just not how politics works. If Labour have endorsed these positions now, they're bound to them in power, because endorsing these positions and making policy on it and dropping pledges based on it, that sets out how you will act when you are in power. If it didn't, and they got into power and became a completely different government, performed an about face, what do you think would happen? People would be infuriated about the government that they've elected. You could look at several different things that Labour have done. They're like both-footed dive into Brexitude. The fact that they are absolutely desperate to enact Wes Streeting's plans for the NHS, which I've spoken extensively about. I shared a video this morning explaining how privatisation creates a long-term weakening of public structures for various different reasons. There's so many issues. The thing is, there are issues that I can overlook when it comes to policy because they can be guided. But when it comes to a basic position on whose human rights you're going to protect and whose human rights you won't, that's not something that you can be guided out of. If that's where you're meeting people, if that's the kind of thing that you're endorsing, that's not the kind of thing that you can be dissuaded from once you're in power, because you will enact policy based on that position. The most that we could do is not get them to enact that kind of thing. So trying to steer them towards a more trans-positive stance now saves us pain down the line. I remember going to Brianna's memorial event at Leeds, and Richard Burgeon, who is a local MP who I've spoken to a few times, was there. And he came up and he spoke and he moved away, and people started saying, well, Labour's not doing enough and Labour's not doing enough. And when we turned to see what his reaction was, he'd left. I don't understand how it is that we're meant to get people to listen to the actual word on the street when this is the stuff that they're doing. It's completely unfair to think that we're doing this to throw our toys out of the pram and disrupt Labour's chances of winning, when what we're actually doing is just trying to guide them into a more positive space, policy and promise-wise. I think the problem is as well that people see these issues in these little bubbles, whereas I've spoken extensively now about the fact that I do this thing called patterning, and it's where I can follow the common threads to create an overall picture that other people sometimes, and this isn't an insult to other people, it's just my weird diamond brain, it kind of paints a bigger picture that other people sometimes overlook. And the big concern for me is that the anti-trans movement and the anti-choice movement are intrinsically linked, because they are both movements based on the denial of basic bodily autonomy for people. Ironically, both women, usually, although the anti-trans movement obviously covers trans men as well. I feel bad because trans men get overlooked, but I also don't want to drag trans men into it because, you know. But ultimately, there's a huge problem here because these two movements do bolster each other. Even if the people within them claim to want nothing to do with the other, they absolutely do bolster each other. Because if you want to deny someone's bodily autonomy because of morals or your comfort, then that's certainly going to affect how you look at other things. And the arguments in one absolutely play off the other and strengthen each other. When you start to talk about who deserves bodily autonomy and to make certain decisions, you open that discussion to a wider audience. And the more enterprising out there will use those issues as wedge issues to say, we need to protect X because they will do damage if we let them do Y. And you can see it. You hear those arguments. All you need to do is take the flavor out and you understand that the anti-choice and the anti-trans arguments are absolutely one and the same. If you think that the anti-choice movement isn't going to come to the UK, you are wrong. We've already seen the formants of it. We've seen the mainstreaming of it. We've seen the fact that Sunak et al. Aren't putting in any dissuasions towards people moving it. Even the person who created the main anti-choice movement in the US, one of the people who was instrumental in helping overturn Roe v. Wade, has said that he wants to do the same thing here. Funny that it's a he, by the way, isn't it? And the concern is that I can never, ever, ever have these conversations with anti-transgender people because they're so immersed in it. And it's absolutely crazy for me to see. The weird thing is, you know, as someone who isn't trans, it's not that I really wish much ill on anti-trans people as much as I just wish that they weren't deluded. I don't hate them necessarily. I certainly hate what they've done to people. But I feel like it's just watching a bunch of people who've been convinced that they're right about this terrible thing when they actually do not know the damage that they're doing, the danger that they're putting people in, not just trans people who are at massively increased risk of self-harm, of suicide, of depression, all these other things, but people who see their arguments. I have a couple of friends who are not through really choice, but are quite gender non-conforming women. And they're like, you don't understand how depressing it is to like look at anti-trans people's Twitter feeds or whatever and see the stuff that they say about women like me because I don't fit their stupid idea of what women should look like. It's bullshit, and I don't think anyone should suffer because of that. But the fact of the matter is, and to get back on track, Labour seem to have been endorsing this and flirting with it for a long time. And even recently, Starmer was on the radio and he got told, oh, you all struggle with the penis question, don't you? And I even said it in my video. At no point has anyone from Labour turned around to a person asking them, can a woman have a penis? And say, this government has taken away people's right to strike effectively. They've taken away people's right to protest effectively. They've made voting more difficult. They've taken the electoral office's powers back into themselves. So they're in executive control of how elections are run. The Prime Minister committed crimes on camera twice. The previous Prime Minister crashed the economy. The Prime Minister before that lied to the nation. Why are you asking me about genitals? I understand that it's an issue for some people. Do you know what? Trans people aren't going to not be trans if you don't let them transition. They're still going to be trans and miserable, or they're just not going to be alive. You can deal with bigotry by reading shit. That's what you can do. You can deal with your weird transphobic nonsense by reading stuff that tells you why you're wrong. And the frustration, the mind-numbing frustration, is the fact that so many people who still back this iteration of Labour do not understand that they are the ones causing the issue. They look at people like me saying, I'm not going to vote for Labour whilst they're taking this position. And they say, you're Tory enabling. Whereas what I see is you guys enabling Labour to hold Tory policy because you're too cowardly to stand up to Labour and say, we're pulling our votes away until you get your shit sorted out and start doing the right thing. Now, I've floated the idea of trying to get people to write letters to Labour HQ saying, until you change your stance on trans people, you ain't getting my vote. I've tried to get people to think about just emailing their local MP if they've got a Labour MP and saying, this is not the right stance to take. Ultimately, though, I just don't think enough people want to do it because they are terrified that if they stand up to Labour on this issue, it's going to affect Labour's popularity in the polls. Ultimately, though, you have to ask yourself and you have to perform a balancing act of, if Labour's going to take these unfavourable stances, is that going to be the thing that breaks me? Because if Labour gets in with pro-Brexit, pro-privatisation, anti-big taxes on rich people, if they get in with anti-trans stances, if they don't do anything to enshrine women's rights, if they don't do things that we really need them to do, what is the net good of putting them into power other than them not being as corrupt as the Tories? And that's still, it's still a net win. And I understand that people are going to say it's a net win. And I'm not saying that it's not a net win. But if it's not formative change to move us away from this period that we're in, and it's just further stagnation, that's still not good enough. And that's why people like me are trying to move Labour into a better direction by direct pressure tactics, by using the disenfranchisement of our vote to scare Labour into doing better things. And if Labour still don't move, and if Labour still endorse these bad positions, are you sure they deserve to be in power as well? I don't know what the answer is if neither of the main parties deserve to be in power. I don't know. And I'm sorry that I don't. And I'm sorry that I'm stirring up ructions by saying the stuff that I'm saying. But it's necessary and important that we have these discussions. And honestly, some people just flat out will not have these discussions with me. They just insult, they call you a Tory enabler, and they refuse to listen to your points. I am desperate for a good government to come in. And right now, I don't see either main party being good enough to get my vote. I mean, the Tories are never going to get my vote unless they do a complete about-face and become a completely different political party filled with completely different people saying completely different things, which is never going to happen. That's the nature of conservatism. My overarching concern, though, is that there are so many people who are absolutely desperate to believe that everybody that votes Labour is automatically good and that anything that Labour does that's bad is a necessary evil, when that isn't the case. There's so many ways to get political parties and people who run political parties to hear your thoughts and stances on things. But people just won't do it. And it's like I've said before, I feel sorry for people because I know that this is a direct result of having terrible, terrible governance for 13 years. But that 13 years of terrible governance should not be a rationale to allow the next government to come in, to scrape in with the bare minimum promises. Oh, we won't tax the rich, but we will do some little stuff to tax that makes things better. We're not going to privatise the NHS as in you've got to pay for it, but we are going to let private companies operate within the NHS, thereby weakening its public ability to offer any services. We're not going to do anything to fix Brexit, but we are going to, air quotes, magically legislate to fix Brexit, which is physically impossible, because as the EU creates new directives for how to operate, we're going to move further and further away from their model and have to do more and more to match up. And when it comes to stances like this, if Labour are going to endorse anti-transgender thinking, it's only a matter of ease for them to then flip to wider forms of bigotry if they win. If they decide that that's how they're going to go, the least that they'll do is not put in any more anti-trans stuff, but not actually progress LGBTQ plus equality in the UK or deal with the radicalisation that is rampant everywhere right now. The worst thing that they will do is actively disenfranchise minorities from public life and make things worse. I don't understand why it is people cannot hear me on this. Ultimately, I get why people are terrified of another Conservative win. I really am. I totally get why people are afraid of that. But it does not mean that we can let Labour slip on important issues, like the issues of equality for minorities. And it's absolutely crazy to me that I've spent 2 solid weeks now being called a Tory enabler and just a bad person. Because I can't and won't vote for a political party whose stance on trans people is like this. It's so exhausting, and I just don't understand why people think it's wholly controversial. It's so tiring, and I know that I'm going to, like, because I always do, I always get a few comments whenever I put a podcast episode out. I know I'm going to get people going, well, the Tories will be worse, you can't deny that. And yes, I know. Which is why I want Labour's stance to be better, and why I'm saying, have a better stance and I'll vote for you, you know? Why is that so crazy? The funniest thing is that I said a little while ago, Labour don't align with me politically. I am much further left than Labour offer in terms of policy and stances. And a lot of that I was willing to sacrifice, because I was like, Let's get the UK through this crazy radicalized phase that America's going through too, and a few other countries are going through. Let's get them through this, get everything back on track, and then maybe we can scale up terms of talking about how leftist politics might actually deal with events like this in the future, with coronavirus, with Brexit, with all of these issues, you know? I was willing to let all of that go, but I can't do that on this. This is a red line. If you're going to start slipping on how you're going to defend minority rights, I'm not going to vote for you. And the big concern and the hurtful thing is that there's so many people who know this about me and who have still called me a Tory enabler and a piece of shit because this is what I'm saying, when the fact is, you must know that this is a red line for me. And rather than saying, you're right, this is too far, you'll just default to, well, the Tories will be worse. It's the lesser of two evils arguments, and the lesser of two evils points that there's nothing we can do to change it, when the only thing that's holding Labour to keeping these stances is that you people won't stand up to them, won't be brave and withdraw your vote until Labour change their stances. The only reason that anti-trans people think that they are right is because so many people do this, oh, well, you know, respect people. I don't respect anti-choice people. I don't respect anti-trans people, and I never will. Doesn't matter how decent they are in their other life. Doesn't matter how philanthropic. Doesn't matter how intelligent their arguments are. I won't endorse anti-trans people because everything that they say fits into the idea that we should deny people bodily autonomy based on their own comfort levels, based on no real evidence that trans people cause harm. That's the kind of shit that we're endorsing. And I'm not going to let myself do that. I will never, ever, ever compromise on this. And until you guys, you people out there that are still loyal to a political party who, as far as I've been told, is letting a lot of people down in terms of disappointment, until you say, you've gone too far and I won't vote for you until you change your stances on this, they'll carry on going down this road. You guys are settling and letting them think that this is the stances that you want. And if you don't, you have a very small window that's closing a little bit more every day to raise your voice and say, you don't get my vote until you change your stances on this, 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 and this. I've done it. I know a few other people that have done it. Rather than pointing at us and calling us Tory enablers, why don't you look at yourselves and ask yourselves why you're willing to accept lackluster policy and poor stances on equality? Because that to me is a bigger concern than whether I do or don't vote for Labour, what I'm willing to sacrifice to gain power. If you are willing to throw minority people under the bus to win, you don't deserve their vote, and you don't get to complain when they withdraw their vote from you because you see them as collateral. And if their vote matters so much, fucking do something to get them to vote for you. How's that? Thanks for tuning in to Politically Enraged, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any suggestions for any future topics, feel free to reach out to me. And if I'm interested, then maybe we'll discuss. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something. And remember, stay politically enraged and get politically engaged. Thanks.